opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. You can let him know if you like his new intro song for the second hour. My humble suggestion. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also get on the Twitch channel and comment there. So plenty of ways to get in touch with the show, and we'll try to get some calls at some point this hour. But if you miss the first hour, pretty much all Texans. So we'll move on, because I think we've said all we need to say there. And if you are curious about any of our takes on the Texans, well, PodcastArena.com should be up shortly, or you can just go read the column I wrote Saturday. Just some early look at the lines here real quick. Ravens minus 9 against Titans. Your initial...
It's about the number that I expected.
Yeah, I agree. Inside of 10, I think I like Raven.
I think I do too.
Although I will say this, I give the Titans a better chance of pulling off an upset than I do the Texans. Texans are...
The Texans have beat this team already.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure they have. Yep.
They did.
Yeah, when Patrick Mahomes was gimpy on his ankle.
Okay.
We went over this last week. The two games where...
Sounds like excuse making, but...
But let's be honest. He was not the same player.
I think the biggest difference
Kansas
between the Chiefs
City's defense
now,
is better now.
Yeah, that's the big difference.
Chris Jones being in there helps against the run, which is what the Texans do well. I have plenty of chance to throw poo on them the rest of the week. But 9.5 is that number. Packers minus 3.5 against the Seahawks. Think I'm on Hawk there.
I think I am too.
And 49ers minus 6.5 against the Vikings.
I'll be on Vikings. It opened at 7. I wish I would have gotten some of that.
Yeah, some places opened 8.
Bookie still has it at 7.
Do they?
Okay. Well, might want to jump on that. So
minus 110?
115.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
The second game Saturday, the Titans go in and knock off your defending champion Patriots.
Yeah. it's funny because I said I got to go with the Pats just because I lined up all the things. It's the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And then what happened was the same old Patriots that have been coming out all year came out.
Yeah,
and there was nothing different. There wasn't some magic flip that switched because it was playoff time. It was just a garbage can offense. And, Ryan Tannehill wasn't really good either. It just...
No, what did he throw for 70-something yards?
Yeah. They couldn't stop Derrick Henry. And with the game on the line, Tom Brady couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and, it wasn't just his fault. I mean,
no, of course not.
Julian Edelman dropping that...
Yeah,
short pass that would have got him a first down and given them a chance to go down and get the winning field goal.
And there's a lot of Brady defenders who are saying he hasn't lost a step. He just doesn't have the same weapons he's always had. The whole great thing about Brady is he's always been able to do it no matter what weapons he had.
Right.
And Julian Edelman's still there. They brought in Mohamed Sanu, who was the number two on a Super Bowl team 3 years ago. They used a first round draft pick on a wide receiver. Like, I know there's no Gronk, but it's not like the Patriots have the worst weapons in all of football. That's overkill.
Agreed.
They've got serviceable guys. Brady just isn't the same Brady anymore. And it's fine.
Well,
why
can't both be true? He's not the same guy and he doesn't have great weapons.
Yeah. He's had not great weapons in the past and overcome it.
Because he was good enough to overcome
right.
it. He's
not
that anymore.
He's not that good anymore.
And he's got to have some better talent around him.
And it doesn't
him,
change that he's the greatest that's ever played, because I think that's unquestioned.
He's just 115 years old. Yeah. Time to move on.
Speaking of,
Which, what?
Oh, did we bring up the Saints?
No, I wasn't going to get to the Saints yet. Oh, I was just going to mention, I don't know if you watched any of the post-game interview with Belichick, which was useless, and Brady, but you sure get the feel that he's not going to be back in New England.
It sure feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does. It's hard to come up with where he'll end up, but...
But he said it was unlikely he'd retire. If I'm him, this might be the time to go out. You know, if you wind up in L.A. or Chicago or somewhere, you're not going to be... You're not winning a Super Bowl.
I mean, no.
And I mean, I get that you still love the game. That's great. But, you know, are you... I mean, not that a guy's legacy ever gets tarnished. I mean, nobody remembers.
His isn't tarnishable. I mean,
he's done enough. So, yeah, I just don't know that I want to sit there and watch a diminished Tom Brady play for some other team. All right, speaking of old, now we can move on to the Saints-Vikings, which we had a little war in our
house. Which, by the way, did any quarterback play well this weekend? Any of them? I guess Russ was probably the best of the bunch.
Yeah, I would say he played the best.
And even he wasn't like, he wasn't really great.
He was just, yeah.
He's kidding. I mean, he was better than Josh McCown.
Yeah.
That's what, it's funny because all eight quarterbacks, you probably would have expected better out of most of them.
Yeah, I would agree. Although I still think both, I mean, it's hard to grade Josh Allen and Deshaun. You talked about that, but.
You know what, McCown, you probably, like, if you told me that was, like, McCown was going to be the guy, he probably overachieved what I would have expected. He was decent.
He was decent, but they didn't have a chance to win with him. The Saints game, we had a little fight in our house because I was watching the Saints-Seahawks, and we had to split screen because friggin' World Junior Championship Canada was playing in the gold medal game.
Do you only have one television?
I've got one really big television downstairs in the main area.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be in the main area so I could get to my beer. So why don't you
kick her ass to the curb?
Usually she goes upstairs, but for some reason, you know. And what sucks, we have a really big TV upstairs now, too, but I just want to be close to the beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Which game started first?
They were exact same time. They both started at noon. So, yeah, Black Spotted Zebra says Taysom Hill was the best quarterback this past weekend.
He might have been.
Yeah, boy, it didn't surprise me because I did take the Vikings to cover, but it surprised me how poorly Drew Brees played. Alvin Kamara was invisible. And we talked about that. Whichever running back had the better game, the team was probably going to win. Yep. Cook was better than Kamara. Cousins was better than Brees. And, you know, and please stop talking about the push-off on the touchdown. Honestly, I know Saints fans extremely paranoid because of the play last year.
The play last year is what the rule change was put in for.
Yeah.
This was football. There was hand fighting right before the push-off. DB was pulling Rudolph's wrist. I mean, that's football. And by the way, even if they had reviewed it and said, no, we're not overturning it, would that have made you feel better? It wouldn't have.
No.
And we've seen enough PI calls get reviewed. You know that one's not getting overturned.
Yeah.
Way more egregious stuff than that's been said. Call stands.
Can we, just to back up a little bit, one more bit of what the hell were you thinking, O'Brien, when he challenged that PI?
In the first quarter, too.
Oh, my God. It had no chance of being overturned.
No.
And I'm okay. I know that they're not going to overturn PIs unless it's egregious. I'm not even sure that was pass interference enough to... I don't even think it was interference. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. Okay, sorry. It's interesting, though, because now all this narrative is that, Kirk Cousins has redeemed himself. It's one win.
Well,
I don't think you're quite redeemed yet.
For a guy who the whole narrative has been he can't win a big game, well, you can't really say that now. It's the same, and not that these two are even in the same stratosphere, but it's the same way people said LeBron can't win. Once he won, you got to come up with something new, because now he's won.
He's won one game. I mean,
but it was a big game.
It was a big game.
And they were big underdogs on the road, and he won it.
He did. Although I think their defense deserves some credit for that too. But let's halt on the okay, we can't talk about that anymore thing, because he's got another one next week, and if he doesn't show up for that. You're right back to that narrative.
I'll tell you what, man. It's funny the way that the reseeding thing works, because if you gave the San Francisco 49ers their choice of which team to play, the one seed, you let them pick. Of the other three teams in the NFC, I think the Vikings would be their last choice.
Maybe so.
Like, I would, when, if you're the 49ers, wouldn't you much rather play the Seahawks or the Packers than the Vikings?
Oh, I would, but right now.
It's not even a question.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't pick the Packers because, and you can't because they would get a bye too.
I know. So. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, the way the reseeding works, like.
So your choice would be Seahawks or.
Yeah,
or
but I'm just pointing out that if they could choose the Packers, they'd still choose the Packers. Nobody wants to play the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, not ready to go there yet with the Packers, but I definitely think they'd rather play the Seahawks. So, and the last game was, speaking of the Seahawks, Carson Wentz last, 9 seconds?
Yeah, that's a tough call. And I mean, everybody's... Okay, was it a dirty hit? I vote no. Should there have been a penalty? Probably.
Yeah.
Would that penalty have had an impact in the rest of the game? Probably not. Because it's not like Carson Wentz was going to come back anyway. I mean, that 15 yards wouldn't have changed much. So not calling a penalty didn't impact the game.
No,
obviously, Wentz not being out there was an impact, and that's
I don't think
that
it was
happens.
I don't think it was a dirty hit at all. I think it was an unfortunate hit.
Yeah,
that was basically the Eagles needed Wentz to be, you know, as good as he'd been the last couple weeks, and without him, they really didn't have a chance.
And man, you talk about again, he only had one sack, Clowney, but there were times that he was triple teamed. I mean, they're keeping Ertz on the line as a blocker because they didn't want Clowney to get after McCown. Like, he had a really, really good game, and all it does is piss me off still that he should be here.
He should have been part of this team.
Yep.
Even if this was the last year.
Yep.
I would have been fine with that.
It would have been worth it.
But the defense would be better with him. I'm sorry.
100%.
But, you know, you got Mingo.
And he played.
Yeah, he did. And hey, Jacob Martin's at least made a few plays for
you.
I mean, I don't want to totally dismiss the fact that he's been a useful piece, but he ain't Jadeveon Clowney.
No. And while I crapped on the fact that the Texans paid Merciless what they did, I thought it was stupid to pay him and let Clowney walk away for a bag of beans. Merciless had a really good game on Saturday too.
He did.
So,
other than the early mistake not covering Allen out of the backfield, but otherwise,
well, I don't know. I don't know who's catching him anyway.
Probably not, but you know, you're also talking about Brown throwing the ball, so and all he had to do was just kind of loop it. And there were a few times early in the game where he didn't set the edge, and the Bills had some success running to the outside, not just on the Allen run, but on some other runs. So, but he got better as the game went on, as did J.J. Watt. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Pan, we're back on The Blitz. Did you see how Belichick, as great as he is, he sure can be a little bitch sometimes. Did you see how pissed off he got that Vrabel was using the same loophole he did earlier with the penalties? It cost him 2 minutes.
No.
And basically, Belichick did it early in the year where they drained clock by intentionally taking penalties on offense. So Vrabel does it in this game, and Belichick goes nuts at the officials. Cost him, there was like 6:30 left. They didn't get the ball until there was like 4:44.
Yeah, that is a weird thing. There should be a rule where the other team gets to have a running clock or not. They get to decide if the clock runs, right?
Yeah.
They've got to figure that out.
That is definitely not a good rule.
I knew that was going on. I didn't know that he was pissed off about it. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, even though he's the one who figured it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, gosh, somebody used something against you. My other favorite thing, was the idiot who burned his Tom Brady jersey. Come on, you childs, give me a break. You know, get all those titles and all those great years, and now you're pissed off. Come on.
Not a great look.
Steven asking, what are the odds JJ becomes a Bear in his career since his girl got traded to Chicago today?
Yeah, he needs to. If I'm him, I'd go in and demand a trade.
Well, apparently that's what she did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wanted to try something. I guess I don't know much about the Dash, nor do I pretend to. But apparently she wanted a bigger role and wanted to go somewhere else and try it. And frankly, you know, not the worst thing in the world to spend half your year in a different city if you're in a relationship.
Yeah, that's not the worst thing.
No, in fact, I'm four. So
do you think there will be infidelity in the relationship now?
I mean, I'm pretty sure, both of them can pull whatever they want.
Of course.
So, you know.
You think they'll have an agreement? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know enough about them personally or their relationship to actually comment on that. So.
Okay. I was just curious.
But no, I don't know. It doesn't have to be. some people actually like each other, AJ. I know that is a surprise to you.
No.
But, yeah, I'm sure they'll make it work. For me, I like the idea of some space. I mean, I don't want to be around somebody all 12 months.
Yeah.
That's why I like the job that my wife has, because she travels a lot and we travel a lot. It works out. Now, I'm guessing I don't know how long the season is for the.
Isn't soccer basically year round?
I don't know. But I don't think the women play as much. Somebody who knows soccer can tell us. But, he says he'll hold it down here. You dominate in Chicago.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know what that means.
It means she'll dominate.
Oh, good for her.
Get you some, he said. Not like that, but go get you some, you know, some goals.
Are you surprised that the LSU line really hasn't moved since last we spoke?
No. I mean, because there's still a week to go.
Yeah, and I'm guessing there's not a lot of people playing it yet with the playoffs still going on here.
But, yeah, I mean, anybody who's at like who's making a massive wager has already taken a position because they liked it where it opened, or B, they're doing what I'm doing and sitting around hoping that it gets to a seven. And, you know, if it doesn't, they'll play late.
Your Cowboys have a new head coach, by the way. Haven't gotten to that yet.
They do. Of course, they went the retread route. Everybody was so excited. Oh, could they get Matt Rhule? Could they get Lincoln Riley? Nope. They get Mike McCarthy. And
well, I think Jason Garrett had a better playoff record than Lincoln Riley. I'm just saying.
That's fair. That is fair.
Maybe that was a factor. I guess what happened with McCarthy at the end there is. Sometimes teams just need a new voice. Clearly the Cowboys do. But, I mean, he was pretty successful for a long time there.
Yeah, but I also think that he was would he have been as successful if he didn't have Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Do you think that Aaron Rodgers made Mike McCarthy or Mike McCarthy made Aaron Rodgers? That's the question.
I think, here's your easy answer. He was 4-7-1 when he got fired last year with Aaron Rodgers. How'd they do this year?
They didn't play yesterday or play this weekend, so.
But they are.
That's pretty good, right?
They are in the playoffs. And that always concerns me when a first-year coach totally flips things.
Yeah. The with best
record. Essentially the same team. And I know Rodgers was hurt last year or that year, but still.
Best record they've had since 2011.
Hmm.
So.
Well. Yeah, I don't hate the hire, though. I think they needed a change. It depends on who he brings in as assistants. Speaking of assistants, see Wade Phillips got...
Won't be around, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Wade is a one-year fix guy. and then things tend to fall apart the second year.
Yeah, somebody will treat him right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and it looks like Cowboys are going to hire Mike Nolan, speaking of coordinators.
That's not a bad one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I think of the Cowboys' new coaching staff, but it can't be worse, right?
Well, I mean, they had some pretty good assistant coaches.
They had some assistant coaches that were hype beasts early in the year. I don't know.
TR says, you don't think your wife could bang someone in a different state? What does that even mean?
Of course she could.
Of course. Yeah. I'm not even sure what you're asking there.
Yeah.
And you misspelled your, by the way. So
Fred's wife could
do whatever. Right.
She can bang someone in another country.
Yeah, well, she's about to go to London, so it wouldn't shock me. But, nah, I'm not even sure what that means. Of course. Some people have stronger relationships than that, though. That's all I'm saying. I don't quite understand where you're going there.
I don't either.
But, I mean, good for the Cowboys. I mean, we'll see how it works out. Certainly, they had to do something, right? All right, we are going to take a quick break. Guess who we're going to talk to when we come back?
Buzz?
No.
Who? Oh, Lance.
The legendary Lance Zierlein.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to listen to Lance a little bit this morning. So, don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Keep on running.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz for one of my favorite segments of the week because we have the legend that is Lance Zierlein with us. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. And I listened a little bit this morning. So did you get all four players done that you needed to do today?
No, one was Justin Herbert. It took a while. So I got Herbert, one of his wide receivers, done. I'm looking at a kid out of North Carolina who's a tackle, who is Andy Heck's son, former offensive line coach, or maybe current. I don't know if he still is. But so I'll be up here till 7:15, 7:30 tonight.
What'd you think of Herbert? Would you come down on him?
Boy, I mean, there's some stuff I really, really liked about him. And then he's very smart. He gets through all of his progressions. Like, he'll get through three and four progressions on a regular basis. He reads the full field. You know what? He really is. You sent this to me? He really is Carson Wentz. I mean, that really is his comp.
Eagle fan was so mad that I said that.
Why?
Because they think that it's disrespectful to Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz has completed one of four passes for 3 yards in the playoffs in 4 years.
I know.
I know he makes $32 million. But Carson Wentz,
I honestly meant it as a compliment to both guys.
It is. There's like, nothing wrong. There's not. Yeah, that's not a slam to Carson Wentz.
What I said was, listen, there's a couple guys, like, I don't know if you do this. I can't ever imagine someone who's like a draft scout going, you know what this guy's NFL comp is? Peyton Manning. Like, that. There's a few guys that you just don't do.
It's pretty. That's why the whole Joe Burrow, Tom Brady thing is so hard.
He's on the list. Man. Brady, Manning, they're on the list of don't do it.
But
Carson Wentz isn't on that list. He hasn't achieved this status where a college player can't be comped to him.
Both of them are big. Both of them have big arms. Both of them are full field readers, meaning they can get through all their progressions coming out of college. They're both mobile. Carson had a better presence as a leader than this takes phone calls to learn this from people who do this in the buildings. But actually, I think the comp is not bad.
Well,
you have to find a physical comp to start with.
That's
a physical comp, yeah.
And I said, if I wanted to be disrespectful to Justin Herbert, I would say Blake Bortles is his comp.
Or because people will also say Blaine Gabbert is the other name that's thrown out there.
Didn't Blake Bortles and Carson Wentz get comped a little bit when Wentz was coming out? Because Bortles wasn't a total trash can yet.
Yeah, I think they did.
Because
I
mean, physically,
I gotta go back
similar.
And look. I might have I might have put that out there about him because they are very physical. And, you know, the funny thing with these comps is that your comp can be – sometimes it's about size. Sometimes it's playing style. It's not always who you think a guy is going to turn into or, you know, sometimes – like there's a quarterback named Jacob Eason. You guys know who he is. Yeah. And I wrote him up in his comp, and I used two players to comp him because there's two different Jacob Easons. There's one who throws the ball and operates like Carson Palmer when the pocket's clean. And then there's the Brock Osweiler, Jacob Eason, when the pocket gets a little muddy at all. So hopefully they'll put both those guys in there because I truly believe that that's who is comp. There's a high-end comp and the low-end comp, and he's going to be one or the other probably.
What's the comp for Tua? And do you think he's making the right decision coming out?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I do. I mean, he's had two high ankle surgeries. He's had a pelvic wall shattered. I mean, he's not going to have two of his top receivers to throw to next year. They're going to be gone. Both his right tackle is going to be gone. The left tackle's coming back. We found out Devontae Smith is coming back, which I was a little surprised about too. But I think that it's just going to get harder for Tua next year. And I don't know that there's anything left for him to prove. And I think if he has another year where he gets injured, now it's officially a durability concern. Right. I already have that concern because he had.
Well, it's already cost him in his stock.
Yeah. I mean, part of it, you got to be able to get out of the pocket. If you're Tua, what makes him special is the ability to get out of the pocket. But if you can't get out of the pocket without getting hurt and missing time and having surgeries, that's when you start saying, ooh, durability issues. Because maybe his body's just not built for that kind of, you know, the kind of physical abuse he's going to take in the pros.
Will he still end up going in the top 10?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Probably top 5.
Is he ahead of Herbert?
You know, there's a time today where I was going to put Herbert over him, and then there's enough pause with – there's some throws Herbert can't cut loose – because he's gun-shy, and he's gun-shy because he's thrown interceptions, and he's thrown interceptions, and he didn't throw a lot of interceptions, but the other quarterback from Oregon, Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
But Mariota was afraid. He's the quarterback at the blackjack table that's afraid to bet big, win big, and he would rather just shuffle his chips away than take a shot that could be a winning shot. Now, I don't see that problem with – I want to make this clear. Herbert will take shots down the field. That's not a problem. It's the shot short. He has a bad habit of he doesn't throw with any touch. Everything has pace. He didn't throw a touch. So he's throwing a lot of interceptions to linebackers underneath. So he fears throwing over the top of linebackers and throwing interceptions. So there are times where he just says, screw it, I'm not throwing this high-low. Or cornerbacks where he's got a high-low read where he just says, screw it, there's not enough space here. I'm not going to try to fit this, you know, this touch pass in there. Where Burrow doesn't even think twice about it, he'll throw it.
Your thoughts on the Texans Saturday?
I mean, so for three quarters I'm working on my narrative of what I'm going to say on the show. And how I'm feeling and getting in touch with, you know, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, how to say it, and you know how it goes. I mean,
I was writing a column and I had to rewrite it three times.
Yeah. You're storyboarding things really is that what you're doing. And then the fourth quarter happened and then overtime happened. And you have to kind of reassess everything. And I'm happy they're moving on. I'm happy they're still playing and they're playing Kansas City. It's weird because doing a show, it would have been way different. The show would have been, do the Texans have the balls to fire Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
That's what the show would have been. And the answer would have been no. And we would have said, you know, and I would have talked about how this organization doesn't really know how to operate. They don't have draft picks to fix the areas of concern. But you have to put – now, all that stuff is going to still be on the table. But you can't – that's not really something until they lose that they're going to be faced with the reality. I made a comment on Twitter, and I said, if the Texans lose this, and then they're going to see what the credit card – the results of the credit card spending with draft picks and not having those picks, why it's going to be hard to rebuild or to retool. And there are people said, well, why did you say if they lose? And I said, that's fair. I mean, they're going to face it either way. But until they lose, I want to at least give them the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Because if you do that, then
everything that you did was worth it.
Yeah, then I can't really say anything. This is what you
if,
built
if you go
for, right?
2-14 for the next 4 years, it doesn't matter because
well, it's
you
the
won
Florida
the Super Bowl.
Marlins. You won or Miami Marlins, whoever they were at the time. You won a World Series. Yeah. So what can you say? That was the goal. It happened. Well, now look where they are. They had to sell off all their players. You still experienced something in Miami that you hadn't experienced. If the Texans win a Super Bowl, there'll be issues to talk about, but if they won a Super Bowl because of the moves they make, I can't really say anything at this particular juncture. So I want to give them that chance. Once they're eliminated, reality is going to set in with some of those same issues. But as far as the game was concerned, loved what I that's one of the first times I've seen Watson play really poorly for a stretch and then pull himself out of a tailspin in the second half. And then I thought D-Hop just really kind of took over the game. And then J.J. Watt. Say what you want about J.J. Watt, knowing where the cameras are, knowing, like Booger said, knows when he's mic'd up, things like that. But J.J. Watt's sack was really, really critical in turning that game around.
Before the Taiwan Jones play, what grade would you have given Deshaun Watson for the game?
Let's say overtime game is C.
Let's say that play he gets sacked. It's his eighth sack, and the Bills go down and score a field goal.
And that was a zero blitz where he didn't get the ball out. By the way,
yeah. So what's the final grade if he takes that sack and they lose the game?
CC minus.
Okay, I went with a D, and because he got that ball out, and because they go on and win, I gave him a C plus for the total game grade.
Yeah, I think it's – I never like to just swing it too much on one play. I didn't think Deshaun played particularly well, but at the same time, he made winning plays.
Yeah.
You know, he's still a win with quarterback – or win because of quarterback. And you win games because of Deshaun Watson. Now, you got to limit the amount – but so was Brett Favre. He was a lose because of quarterback and a win because of quarterback.
Yeah. Philip
Rivers does that. Yeah. You're just trying to eliminate some of the lose because of and tighten it up. That's all.
Jameis Winston is certainly that.
100%. Yeah, 100% is lose because of. You can't win at a high level with Jameis. There's too many turnovers.
What do you think of Josh Allen? Because Fred and I were talking, like, you see some things with Josh where.
I thought he was concussed, if you really want to know the truth.
Oh, really?
And that didn't come to. That showed up on a text string with some offensive linemen guys that, you know, from the Joe Moore Awards that I'm on. And they started saying that in the third quarter. Like, some of the stuff he's – look at his eyes. Guys who played at a high level in the pros, he said, he's doing some things right now that lead me to believe that he might be concussed. And I'm thinking, where are they seeing this from? Just some incomplete passes? And they started discussing a look that they saw on his face when they went close up, a throw that he made – and then it didn't really set in until that crazy lateral backwards, like the lack of any understanding of what was at stake or what was on the clock. That one made me think, maybe these guys are right.
We were talking about him, and he's got some elite physical tools, obviously. His arm is, I said, it's probably second only to Mahomes. He throws the ball across his body, throws it. If a normal quarterback did, you'd be like, what are you doing? And then it zips across the field like it was supposed to be that way. But he still he doesn't always make the right decisions. He holds on to the ball way too long. Mm-hmm. And man, there's some plays in that game. And if he's concussed, it makes sense. But there was a play where they needed about 5 yards to get into field goal range. And it was 3rd and 10. And he buried it at Cole Beasley's feet. When it would have been 5 yards, they could have kicked the field goal. It would have been a whole different game. And he just couldn't make it. It was the most simple throw. But that was a guy who
is that the one where JJ came around and almost got the arm,
yeah.
And then he throws it just seemingly
spiked
just,
it basically into the ground.
It didn't make any sense to throw it that poorly.
But that's a guy who, if you watch the first half of the game, you say this is why they're winning because he made some huge plays.
But this is the problem I'm having with Herbert right now. I need it to look the same. A lot.
Right.
And sometimes it's the same problem I have with Deshaun Watson, just at a higher level.
Yeah.
Deshaun won't be a great quarterback until it looks the same way most of the time. For Herbert, I need it to look the same way from game to game to game against inferior competition. And with Josh, I think this is always going to be the concern for guys like Josh Allen and Drew Lock, is it's not going to look the same game in, game out. And that's why he could become a good quarterback, a guy who can manage his team and win and make some winning plays. But I don't think he's ever going to be a great quarterback. I don't think he has all the tools necessary.
This came up in the Texans game and in the Saints game. I know you were interested in both. The blindside block rule. Mm-hmm. Which was obviously put in place to prevent those peelback blocks that were dangerous. In both these instances, it seemed like, I mean, by the way the rule is written now, it was the right call. But do they have to change that rule? Because it just seems like that's just blocking.
I think they have to really define what a crackback blindside block
because
is.
Because that's, I mean, if you're for the Saints, it was on a kickoff, and it cost them probably 20 yards, which would have been huge. But for the Bills, it potentially cost them the game.
It did, and the fans are really they're really fired up about that. And I get it. It was in the spirit of the call. It was the right call. Mike Pereira, I saw where he said, you know, I probably wouldn't have made that call. He said, honestly, I probably wouldn't have gone through and made that call because there was no – it was a shoulder hit. It wasn't, you know, a shot to the head. It wasn't a big blind.
Like, I mean,
and
he faced up to him, and, like, there was time.
But that's the issue.
Right.
The face up and
looking the wrong direction.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going to call it pretty much every single time they see it.
Because later in that game, Duke Johnson, when he basically just flings his body backwards into a defender.
So he's engaged in it's a brilliant, smart football play.
It is.
He's engaged in a two-point conversion with a cornerback, and he's blocking him, and Deshaun's trying to turn a corner. And as that happens, Duke allows him to start pushing him backwards, and then he lets go, and he allows his momentum, and he takes a step to the left and careens into and crashes into Tremaine Edmonds.
Which could be way more dangerous of a block than the one that got called.
But it wasn't
facing him because he hit him with his back.
He wasn't faced up. He really just shielded. I mean, shield play.
I don't know what the right, I get the understanding. I get what the rule is.
I think if you can't see it coming, that's where the play's got to come. And I think intent, you know, more and more, they're really, when there's an intent, and this is fools them. I know you guys see this in college and pros too. Sometimes they get fooled by how hard the hit is, but it's a legal hit with shoulder pads. And it's almost like they're being conditioned to, especially in college, throw penalties on hard hits.
Yeah.
Brennan Scarlett hit a couple weeks ago. Was that they called a personal foul on when it was a good hit.
It wasn't a bad hit at all.
Yeah, it just looked violent.
Well, and when you talk about, you know, spirit of the rule, would there have ever been a bigger play than had they called that a Bills touchdown on the opening kickoff of the second half?
Oh, gosh. It would have been the end of. Would have been the end of everything, Bill. That could have potentially. We never know. But that could have been potentially the end of Bill O'Brien as head coach and general manager of the Texans.
I mean, what kind of show would it be today?
Yeah, I mean,
and people don't. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't realize by the letter of the law. Like, if they're going, this is the rule. I mean, the original call could have been right. Well, but they said, I mean,
he
obviously
never made a football move forward. He took two steps with the ball extended, and it never appeared as though he was contemplating leaving the end zone. And the kneel down has been eliminated.
Why? What's the big deal? Why can't you just take a knee?
It's part of the idea of make it as easy as possible to kill a kickoff play so there's no contact. It's part of what made it really easy to give yourself up.
If he had kneeled down, is there some kind of penalty?
No. You can do that if you want. You've seen it on the kicks. They just extend their arms and they can let the ball bounce. Remember when you couldn't just let the ball bounce in the end zone?
Yeah.
But that's all done. They want, I mean, this is, they're stopping just short of basically eliminating kickoffs.
That would have been a crazy, crazy swing
Bills
in that
fans
game.
We're pissed about that, although I think they all recognize they were trying to win on a technicality on that.
Yeah.
The other forward play was the concerning play.
The block?
Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
That was the one that caused the most problems.
And listen, I don't think there was. I don't think the Bills got cheated. Just like I don't think the Saints got cheated on that call. Like you're trying to win on like, come on guys, give us a break here. That's mm-hmm. never going to happen. But yeah, that was there were some calls this week that make you go, what's going on here?
Like, yeah,
they need to. Everybody needs to be on the same page with these rules.
I think they'll look at them. I don't know if anything will change, but they may more clearly define how to call them and what to let go. They're not going to take any elements that are meant to put in for safety purposes. They're not going to change. They're not going to take them out. They might just reconfigure them slightly.
Yeah.
All right. That's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him in the mornings on the bench and, you know, also does a lot of draft stuff for NFL Network. We'll be cranking up pretty soon.
Yep. That's it.
A legend around here. Lance, appreciate the time, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. We come back. Got a gym of the day for you. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And a couple things from the Twitch channel. Bob says, what do you think about the Redskins hire? I like it. I like Ron Rivera. I like that he went out and got Jack Del Rio as his defensive coordinator. And want to see what he does with the rest of that staff. But I think he'll do a good job there. And Last In says, love you guys. Been listening for 5+ years. Well, thank you. Appreciate you listening. All right. What do you think of Ron Rivera in Washington?
I think Ron Rivera is kind of just a guy. But I don't know. I mean, is it an upgrade? Probably.
Yeah, I like it, and I like that he went out and got Jack Del Rio as his defensive coordinator.
I did too.
That's a great hire. So
yeah, I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's anything special, though.
I think he'll get him to the playoffs at some point if Daniel Snyder stays out of it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, I'm going to credit my daughter for sending me this one. Are you familiar with the Rhode Island School of Design?
The Rams?
No, they're not the Rams.
Oh.
This is the Rhode Island School of Design.
Oh, RISOD, they call them.
Yeah, well.
I actually think they're no.
RISD, yeah.
Yeah, are they the Pelicans? Or the Gulls, maybe?
The school's basketball team is known as the Balls.
The Balls, that's right.
But
not Gulls, Balls.
Their mascot is something called Scrody.
Mm.
And it looks just like you would thought. Their cheer is Go Nads. He's an unofficial mascot, but he's at all the games and widely accepted by the student body. He has it looks like a giant penis wearing a red cape with the scrotum hanging beneath.
Hmm.
So Scrody, there's a picture.
Oh, I've seen him, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big blue balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, it's a stupid mascot costume because you can see the mascot's face.
Yeah.
Rule number one of mascots, don't ever expose your face.
No, we don't. Yeah, it's almost like it's a suspension of disbelief, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want the mascot to be covered up.
When I when I was young in my radio career, and I would when you're starting in radio, you're making crap money, so you've got to do things that you really hate to make money. And I wasn't willing to become an escort, so instead I did play-by-play for high school football for the Pflugerville Panthers, who had two mascots. One was, as you would expect, a panther. The other was a really just a big blue blob. I didn't really understand it, but I will say that they lost a game, and they didn't lose very many games when I was there. They were pretty good. They lost a game during which the Panther mascot removed the head.
Oh, boy.
And just walked around wearing the costume and like she was drinking water, holding her head to the side.
Oh, like, that's a fail.
What? I told the coach, I said, this is why you guys lost. I said, this is unacceptable. I mean, this is you, mascot 101. You don't expose yourself.
You know what? We never saw who the chicken was.
Never. The famous chicken?
Yeah.
You know why? He's famous because he did a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
Thanks, Scrody. That should be your nickname.
Of the day.
No, it shouldn't.
It's the gem of the day. Zadok Jeweler, gem of the day.
409 says, in honor of the Sam Houston meet starting, I'll reread Jesus Just Left Chicago. Great book. Let's hope nobody gets Boudreaux.
No.
I love that getting Boudreaux has become a term now.
It was giant.
Yeah, we'll be out there Friday, by the way, for the first night.
Hell yeah, we will.
Of the meet. Looking forward to that. So we'll be doing the show from 4 to 7. Gonna be, and I kind of looked at the card. It looks like it's going to be a really good first night of racing out there if you want to make some money. So we'll see.
Do you, and you may know this, you may not, so it might be a silly question, but could, like, because of the legal poker situation now, could someone start a room, like rent out a room at Sam Houston Race Park? They've got that big room. Like if you're walking up to the park, the room on the far left.
Yeah.
That could be a poker room.
It's called the pavilion, but that area is actually the reason they're keeping it around was because they were always hoping to get additional gambling.
So if someone came in and said, hey, I want to start one of these new legal poker rooms, can I rent this space from you? Could that possibly work?
I think, and I don't know this for a fact, but I've only heard it secondhand, but I think there's something to do. There's some reason that they can't legally do it because they wanted to put bingo at one of the tracks for the same reason.
Right.
And apparently you can't do any other form of gambling. So, you know, but I do think it would be pretty cool.
Very cool.
Because I'd be out there all the time. And it'd be great to be able to walk over, make some bets on the races, sit there and watch them and play poker.
Yeah.
That's why I love going to Tampa Bay Downs so much. I haven't been in a long time. But they have a great poker room there, or at least they used to. I don't know. I haven't been in 8-9 years. But you could sit there and play poker, and they'd have a teller walk around, and you could make bets on the races while you're playing a tournament. And it was awesome. And I think the last time I was there, I won a bunch of money in both. So
there you go.
Oh, I watched that documentary you were talking about with the cats. That was good stuff.
Oh, the Don't F with Cats?
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty disturbing, though, huh?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I knew a little bit about the guy, but I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
Yeah,
but the wife knew all about it.
Obviously. Oh, I think it was a big deal in Canada.
Yeah, it was huge.
You watch it yet, Aaron?
No, I don't want to think about it. Ugh. I've listened to enough podcasts of serial killers who did weird things to animals, and
well, it's really well done though.
It's more. This is less about him murdering and more about the way he gets found.
Yeah, the people who were trying to chase him down.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
And yeah, there's not anything. I mean, they don't show any of the videos.
No, you don't see the cats dying.
Okay. Then
It's like a nerd militia. It's like a bunch of online booger eaters who are like, you know what? We're going to find this guy. Dude, you got to watch it. I tell everybody, watch this thing.
It's very well done. It starts a little slow because it spends too much time talking to this one lady. But then once it kicks in and you start finding clues, and it worries me. Again, it goes back to what I've been saying for a long time. You can't get away with being a serial killer anymore.
No.
They will catch you.
Well, especially if you basically are trying to copy off a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't work.
I will add it to my list before I cancel my Netflix subscription.
Why are you canceling Netflix?
Because I don't watch a lot of it. No.
Oh, I thought
like my wife watches one show, and we might get into The Witcher, and that might make us keep it.
This isn't because of the gay Jesus? Was it gay Jesus, or what was it that people were saying cancel Netflix over?
I don't remember.
I think it was gay Jesus.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, I think
No, it's not like that. I've got enough subscription services that I would rather.
Netflix is the one you're going to get rid of?
Well, it's $15 a month, and if I cancel that, I can add ESPN Plus for $5 and still put another $10 back in my opinion.
Your wife doesn't have Disney? Oh, you guys don't have kids.
We have Disney Plus because we get it for free.
Disney Plus is now bundled with ESPN Plus.
Yeah, and Hulu.
And Hulu, yeah.
I get that. But with what we're already paying for, we get Disney Plus for free for a year through our cell phone.
Oh, okay.
And if you actually do the bundle, we end up losing $4 a month.
All right.
Rather than me just paying for ESPN and Hulu on their own.
Yeah, see, I don't think I could let go of Netflix. There's too much on there that I like to watch.
By the way, that poker room in Tampa Bay Downs is still there.
Oh, is it? Awesome. I gotta find an excuse to get to Tampa. Maybe I'll go for spring training this year. That's what I used to do. I'd go for spring training and catch the races and play poker. It's a fun place. And plus, there's got to be 50 guys there in the witness protection program because there's all these New York wise guys that hang around there. And, you know, they all know each other. And you're like, yeah, these guys are in witness protection.
Yeah.